really holding serve on any sort of cardinal shit.
So how would you like to grow up? Because we're going to teach you how to grow up with your fantasy leagues this week. But first, we have an epidemic. NFL has 37 positive tests this week, and it's the most they've had ever in a single day. And what's a bit scary is, you know, the thought that we might be going back to last year where it might be worse. Last year, we didn't have fans. This year, you know, it's the players that are getting it. They didn't let fans in because they wanted the fans to be safe. What happens when the NFL starts to worry about their players? I know they have vaccination statuses and whatnot. I mean, some do. We did cover Antonio Brown with his fake passport a couple weeks ago because we were off. But this is a bit of a big deal. We have the Rams who just played last night on Monday Night Football with multiple positive tests, including Odell Beckham Jr. entering the, I forget the exact word, but the enhanced COVID status. They do not have their training facilities open. And then same thing with the Browns. They're going into all online meetings as they have another, what, 8 or 9 players on the COVID list. So that's the news to start us off. Pretty big deal. But let me welcome in Tim Nubs. What up?
What's up, buddy?
I'm Hush.
It's kind of, it's just nutty. Like, and at the end of the day, you got to think, these millionaires are going to start caring a lot more about their safety post-football career as well. Nothing wrong with them being millionaires. Just saying they have a lot to be healthy for post-career. So if the NFL is not going to do what it needs to do to, you know, keep them safe and healthy, that's, that could be something that they take into their own hands, and it could affect the product on the field.
Yeah. I'm just worried about, yeah, if they do take it into their own hands, what happens? It's a bad time. I mean, I don't know, not to sound selfish, but this is a fantasy football show at its core, and it's just really shitty timing, you know, playoffs are starting.
Really shitty timing.
Yeah. Like, that's why you just got to be good. If you just don't suck, you get bye weeks. But I mean, that's just some, you know, trolley comment. The fact is, this could get even worse and affect everybody. So, yeah, that's where we're starting off. Not great, Bob. Not great. Do you think there's any blame to be had with players not taking protocol safety? And I think that's a microcosm of the entire, you know, nation and population kind of laxing on COVID as a whole. But or do you think that they might have a gripe with the owners or the league not protecting them?
I was actually thinking about this on the way home today, is that I think it actually got lax in a lot of people's minds. I'm not saying that they haven't still been following protocols, or because I don't want to put that blame on anyone that I don't know has or has not, but that in their minds, they probably did feel like it was kind of over with. And there was probably a lot more practice of what they were doing in their lives before COVID in the last probably month or so. As well as you got to think, like, I understand that it probably had no impact, but like when, you know, Odell left Cleveland and you know, went to the Rams, that's just more traveling, more chance for him to contract it and things like that. So it's kind of all over the place. It's just weird that it's only two teams, and we might be very lucky that it doesn't spread to their opponents.
Yeah. I'm just wondering what maybe gripes we might have between the players and the league going forward. Does the league blame the players? Do the players blame the league? I'm not here to give a conference or discussion on COVID as a whole, but
I think it depends though how the league treats the players after they get it, like especially the way in which they like describe behaviors or something. Let's say someone was doing exactly what they're supposed to, but then the league tries to make them out to be a scapegoat. That could go really poorly for the league.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, exactly. Other news. salary cap for 2022 is going to go up to $208 million, a raise of $25 million, which that's a quarterback in these days, a defensive end. So with a lot of good free agents on the market, I should have probably looked it up before, but I know we have a ton of really good wide receivers coming into free agency this year. Allen Robinson, Chandler Jones, Chris Godwin. Obviously, Chandler Jones is not a wide receiver, just a player. Devontae Adams. So could have some fun with free agency this year. Good to see the cap go back up after going down last year.
Absolutely. Probably gives the Saints another salary range to bump up Taysom Hill again for the third time. We'll see.
Yeah, what dirt does he have on Peyton?
They're nudes everywhere.
To be honest, I mean, they are winning, aren't they? I know they won this week. I've been playing Taysom over Matt Ryan the last 2 weeks, and I should start playing him over Dak Prescott too.
When I saw, I was touring AT&T Stadium this Sunday, so I didn't watch all the games live. I went back and was able to catch up later, but when I saw that Taysom had like a 45-yard run or a 40-yard run for a touchdown, I was like, what?
Yeah, I missed quite a bit myself too. So you're getting takes from two guys who don't know what they're talking about. That's why we do a rapid review. and that's pretty much par for the course. So I think we might as well just get to that now.
Now it's time for the NFL Rapid Recap.
Vikings beat the Steelers 36-28 on Thursday night football. Chase Claypool, what are you doing, bud?
Ravens nearly come back against the Browns with their backup quarterback.
Titans destroy the Jaguars 20-0. Trevor Lawrence, 4 picks. You got to run the ball, Irvin.
6 carries for James Robinson. Chiefs come out and destroy the Raiders after they try to deface the Chiefs logo at midfield.
Saints topple the Jets 30-9. Taysom Hill greater than Dak Prescott.
Speaking of Dak Prescott, the Cowboys hang on 27-20.
Micah Parsons, defensive player of the year, perhaps. Falcons top the Panthers 29-21. Cordell Patterson MVP talk, maybe.
Seattle beats the crap out of Houston. Chargers take care of business early and ended at halftime with a deep shot to get you.
Justin Herbert can get it anytime. That mysterious Kyle Shanahan beats the Bengals in overtime. Joe Burrow, 350 and 2 touchdowns. You love to see it.
Wow, Bengals, you should have won this game easily. Bills lose to Tampa by letting Rashard Perriman get free.
You love to see the Bills lose to the Patriots and Brady in back-to-back weeks. I am hydrating myself on your tears. Packers owned the Bears 45-30.
Great to see it. Hopefully the Packers can carry this forward for the playoff run. Rams going to Arizona and really and kind of roll.
I expected Stafford MVP, but it's looking like Cup. Thank you for listening to the recap. Goodbye. All right, that's it for last week. I don't really want to talk about it. We're going into playoffs, baby. You know the deal. I don't know. It feels like just something you can say at any time. You know the deal.
Did this feel like the week? I feel like in the last like 3 years that like based on like playoff seeding, like meant the least to.
Yeah. Great point. To you? Great point. Yeah. No, it was like essentially a bye week. I mean, I did my accountability check on Twitter today. I had 11 of 14 make the playoffs with 8 byes and almost nothing was on the line this week. It was, the only thing was a most points in one league for $50, and I won by 15. But besides that, no seedings changed for me or anything. So yeah, no, that's a great point. That's why I didn't really watch. I went like had a date with my wife. It was pretty sweet. I recommend it instead of sitting at my computer watching 8 screens of football all day. It was kind of cool, but yeah, it was very like didn't mean much.
It was hard to go back and watch games I knew were just going to be trash.
Yeah, it's that too. But yeah, all right. So I guess it's time to teach you guys how to grow up in your fantasy leagues. Let's kick it.
It's time for the main event.
So this all got started because people were on the timeline saying that, you know, trade deadline, no trade deadline. And if you're listening, you probably know where I stand, where you should have a trade deadline. You should not ever have a trade deadline in Dynasty play redraft, but obviously you're going to have a trade deadline in redraft. So we're going to go through that and other things that I think are necessities in your leagues or see where we stand on them anyways. This is sort of an off-season type of pod, but I had nothing planned today, and that was all the hype, a lot of battles on Twitter for it, and it was great. A lot of people exposed themselves by saying, you know, you should have a trade deadline. And the logic a lot of them had is the NFL does it. I mean, that's just, woof. That's just a bad argument. That, and I think the other one was, why should teams be able to buy a championship? And that's another terrible argument, because you're not buying it. Like, there's absolutely no guarantee that you're going to win the title. And if you do, you paid up for it, you know? So like, you didn't just, and if you didn't, if they gave a first and got, like, you know, Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler, Jamar Chase, then that's not a trade deadline issue. That's that you play with fucking colluding Fox and you just shouldn't be in a league with them. So first and foremost, trade deadline, no trade deadline in Dynasty. I think the only people who are for it are people that are new to Dynasty or have never not had a trade deadline. Yeah. They've never tried it. So they think it's just terrible.
They're so afraid of somebody buying a championship. But at the end of the day, if you buy a championship, guess what that does? Creates parity in your league. Creates the opportunity for players at the bottom to actually make their teams better. That's what you want.
It seems to be like you're calling yourself out for multiple things. One, that you're new, which is fine. I'm not going to gatekeep. I'm trying to help you make your leagues better. But also, it's the only people that would be upset about that, I think, are people that aren't good at trading. So they feel like they're going to be left out because they're not going to be able to get their trades in. Because, like, why should this guy be able to do it because he can complete a trade? Well, motherfucker, learn how to trade. Stop sending a second for Justin Fields, or like, stop trying to ask for three firsts for fucking Baker Mayfield or something. Like, that's the only thing. Like, I can't see anything. I can't get behind something that, you know, hinders team building and stagnates activity in the league. Like, there's no reason for it.
And we had a discussion about bad trade offers in our group chat. And something that I wanted to just reiterate is the fact that, yeah, you may get a lot of bad offers, but you're getting offers. Yeah. So like, maybe one time the guy that sends you bad offers fucks up and he sends you a good one and you take it. Like, the worst thing is when you're in a league and you make one trade the entire season, then there's four offers amongst the entire league mates the entire year. Like, that's just not good.
It's not.
So, and honestly, trading is like you can draft well, but trading is like the only way in which you can really consistently believe that your team can get better quickly. Like, if any team, let's say you got to take the number one team in a league right now, right? And you just embargo that one guy and you never trade with him again. Like, the entire league does it, not in a way like you're colluding, but it just never, no trade ever happens again. That means that team has to rely then on continually hitting on their draft picks to get to the point in which they're back at that top team again, and their players they get older or they get injured or whatever. So, and I'm just illustrating that fact that teams are always going to be cyclical, which is another reason why you don't want trade deadlines, because teams will go up, teams will go down, assets will change in value. Obviously, if you're going for a title, the value is kind of at a premium when it comes to trying to pick up a guy on a team or for a team that's trying to win a title, which is, once again, good for bad teams. So none of this is bad. And I think you look at it even like the velocity of money, which is how often like a dollar changes hands in a year. You want that velocity to go super high, because it's just, there's so many opportunities for the assets to keep cycling through the league. And then you just kind of pick the ones that you want and continue to cycle through and try to gain that value. So I don't know. I understand the idea of go to the playoffs with whom you got or who got you there, but that doesn't help anyone else in the league.
They like feeling like you have to be a contender and decide if you want to go for it. Like, I don't know. You should be able to go for whatever. Like,
even like, look at baseball. They rent players for 3 months.
Yeah.
And they pay a premium for it. 3 months. So it's like the same thing in fantasy football. And I know some of our listeners they're going to hear baseball and it's going to be something that's blocked in their head.
Yeah. I don't know where the mute is. We're going to move forward to our next. Let's start with one where I'm probably in the minority, which is okay. I mean, that's where I live. That's why you fade me. Max points for or possible points. I'm not for max points or possible points. I think it should be your record and then the points you scored. Now, again, I guess there's some caveats that I don't think should be necessary, but I understand might need to be is that this is for a league where you're not with a bunch of randos who suck or like who will collude and just literally bench. Like you see some shitty stuff on Twitter, so I get it. I'm operating under this fact, like there's enough good people that play this sport of fantasy football that you can have a good league and you should just not join or leave shitty ones where this is necessary. And also if it's a shallow league, I can see it, I guess, for a shallow league, but in a league where it's, you know, 30 guys and you have some IR spots and taxi squads, like start sit is hard. We sit here and wonder if we should play freaking Juwan Johnson or like Taysom Hill. Like, I don't know. You get my point. People go off. Rashad Penny just put up 20 more than Antonio Gibson. Like it happens every week. You're going to fuck up start sit. So I don't like that a team, because I've seen it happen and it's happened to me because I've played this long enough where I've been like the 101 and I get the 103 because I fucked up start sit. I wasn't trying to tank. I just ended up getting fucked with my start sit. And then I got fucked with my pick because I fucked up start sit. So it's good in theory. I think it can be good for, you know, shitty leagues or most leagues. But the fact is that 10% where it doesn't work, it's so broken that it's not worth it. And I can't get behind it. I really don't like max points for or possible points. And one more thing, teams that do try and tank to lose to what? They're losing to what? Get a pick to win. They never win, dude. Those types of people don't end up winning the leagues. Like, all right. My bylaw the best bylaw I've written is don't be a douchebag. Like set an active lineup, no buys, no fucking people that are out, try and set an active lineup. But I'm not going to try and tell people that you can't start Rashad Penny over Antonio Gibson. Like, I think that's a shitty thing, but if they tried that, it would have blown up in their face. I don't want to get it hands on into who sits and who starts, but for the most part, don't be a douchebag. I think that's my overarching theme for all.
I 100% agree. It all goes back to don't be a douchebag, because if you weren't a douchebag, you wouldn't even have to have this rule in whatsoever, because I 100% agree. I actually was talking about this to Toronto Dave early in the offseason, because he was asking about why I and other people did not support possible points. And there's so many reasons. It could be a guy that you never planned on starting. Yeah, you can make the argument, then why is he on your roster? Blah, blah, blah. There's so many reasons guys are on your roster that you don't have to explain it to somebody else why you have them, but someone goes off and there's never an intention of playing them. And then it just messes up your pick. For what reason? Your team's not actually better because some guy in week 15 put up points that are not going to help you in the future, because the idea of possible points is to really assume the health of your roster. Your roster is actually this good versus this good.
Yeah. It's like a best ball rule.
And that's bullshit, because if you look at it, you could have a bunch of young guys, a bunch of rookies that finally start to get looks after you're out of playoff contention. And your entire idea was that you're going to build for the future. Your team is not that good for the entire season. There's no way that those points should impact your standing at the end of the year. It just doesn't make any sense to me, because people are trying to look at it from, how good is this team really? Look at the record. The record will dictate a lot, as well as if the guy's a bad manager in terms of who to start, or the girl's a bad manager into whom to start. That's something that they have to learn to get better at. And it represents how good their team is if they're bad at managing their lineup. So
I think that it's one of those that really quick on the face of it seems like it might be good in theory, but I'm telling you, in practice, it doesn't work. It's not the best way to do it.
I wouldn't even join a league that used it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm finding out that some of these are two things that would make me really like, I won't leave a league that uses max points, but it makes me want to. But no trade deadline would make me want to leave. And there are some that I don't want to leave them. I'm not going to, but like it really, really makes me want to consider, like I'm at least lobbying for it. They're just, a lot of these are just very, people are just don't looking at them like deep enough, or they're just very closed minded on them. I don't know. That's the way I used to be team trade deadline when I first started Dynasty. Then I realized that that's not how you play Dynasty, and no max points for. All right. Next one, since we're talking about win, median or victory points. So a median is you play your head to heads. That's one win, one or one loss. And then you play the average score of the league so that you can go 2-0, 1-1, 0-2. Now in MFL land, you have victory points. And I almost think I like victory points better in a sense, because I have them set up for you get 2 points for winning your head to head. And then you get 1 point for being the top half. So it puts more premium on winning your games than being a higher scorer, but either is fine. But I think these are necessary for your leagues because it'll also help. It helps to distinguish who is actually good, who is actually bad. And it there's nothing worse than, you know, being the second highest scorer, outscoring the league by 20%, but you played the guy who scored 5 more points than you, and it counts just as much as the guy that you doubled up. Like, nobody likes that.
I wish there was something. Now, I agree. I think median is required, unless you're in a home league, because home leagues, to me, if everyone agrees, it's a little bit more drama of someone that might be an underdog. Like, we got a guy in our league that's 9-5, and he has a terrible roster, but he keeps winning.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's whatever. Like, it's kind of fun that way. But I wish there was some sort of like window or fudge factor plus or minus the median, because there's so many times where there's guys that lose by like 0.2 to the median.
Well, that's because they're all on the line of the median. Like,
yeah, it's just crazy to me.
There's always gonna be one team that's right there on the line of the median. I can see what you're saying, but
maybe it's like 5% less than median or something like that. I think it would be more fun. But it is what it is, because whoever, you know, if you're in a league and you agree to that, then that's how you play. So, well,
I mean, you could just do top half and bottom, don't have a median. There's just always 6.
I think I might not like that better, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I like the victory points. That's something I wish that we could bring over to Sleeper from MFL, is because I like having 2 points for your head to head. So that head to head means more than just, but you don't get completely fucked. You can still get 1 point for being a top half scorer. And there's always 6. And
so if you're not a top half scorer, do you lose a point?
Yeah, you can go 2-1.
Okay. Okay.
If you're in the bottom half, but you beat another, do you get 2 for winning, 1 for losing, being bottom half?
I might even be for just a bonus for top half too, if you're looking at the league on just victory points at the end of the season.
Well, yeah, you can be a top half and lose, and you go 1-2, 1 for being top half, 2 for losing.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, maybe even no negative for being in the bottom half. You just don't gain points.
Oh, yeah. I think you could probably do that too. Yeah.
I think I might like that better if we were going to do victory points.
Yeah. This is something that I think is good if, no matter how you do it. I mean, median or victory points like that. I mean, you can really fuck it up. But what I'm saying is, like, I could see max points for, like, if you don't have that, I could see people, obviously, if you're in a shitty league, colluding and just being douchebags and benching their best players. I don't think median is ever a bad thing. It's never a bad thing to add to your leagues. It can only make them better, in my opinion.
It makes them so much more competitive. So yeah. Much more. Because you're not just looking to beat the shitty matchup that week. You're actually having to still beat the median.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think I have a couple more written down here. One that we could just talk real quick that I'm sure everyone agrees with is Superflex. If you're not playing Superflex, it's just, you really should. There's no reason not to. I think the reason why some people, like my dad, one, like an all-time fantasy player, and he's like, but then there's only 24 quarterbacks like that you have to play. And it's like, first of all, you don't have to play a quarterback, something you have to understand right away. You don't have to play a quarterback. And sometimes it's better not to play a quarterback there. But it makes the quarterback matter. Like in one QB leagues, you can drop Joe Burrow and stuff, and especially redraft. So, I mean, this is something I don't think we need to spend a long time about. I was just trying to see where the other side was, but I mean, I don't see any reason not to have a super flex in any league whatsoever.
I'm 100% in agreement with you. I think one of the ideas though, is that a lot of players that play one QB don't like the value increase of the QBs, which I completely disagree with. I think it makes so much sense to actually make the quarterbacks valuable, but I know that that's a point of contention. And I was going to say too, I was dabbling even thinking about this strategy over the summer in a super flex league, just carrying 2 quarterbacks. Like, let's say you have 3, like maybe one really stud quarterback and like 2 back end or middle QB twos, trading the second QB two that has more market value for a player that you're most likely going to be putting in your lineup, where you strengthen your lineup, you hurt your depth. But then again, you only need 1 quarterback if you have enough to play in the super flex spot, another player, because you're helping you're helping your weekly production and maybe hurting yourself on buys or injuries. But sometimes if you're just trying to go for max points, it might be the better way to go.
Yeah, true. Something I just thought of with all of these trade deadline media, I won't go max points for Superflex like in the next one. People that have played these, I don't hear them wanting to go back from them. Like the people that are saying you have to have a trade deadline or no point, no media. I don't think they've played with them. With like, I don't think they've played no trade deadline or with a media. Like the people that have are not bitching saying, no, this sucks. No one does that. The only people that are bitching are the ones that haven't done it. That's what I think. Next one up. Oh, what do you got?
I was going to say, I got one I'd like to bring up.
Hit up.
PPR is broken.
Yeah, so I was going to be on this one. I had that too.
My bad. I full point PPR, just all it does is it elevates the top players. When in my opinion, okay, so I'm kind of a traditionalist. I prefer non-PPR leagues, but I play in a majority of PPR leagues or like some sort of point per reception if it's half or whatever. Because I think that your production should be able to stand on its own. And I don't like punishing players that score quickly on like a one reception for 80 yards on a touchdown should be the same as someone who gets seven catches for 70 yards.
But I don't see how PPR affects that. You're only getting 1 point for the extra catch.
But if you get seven catches for 70 yards or seven catches for 80 yards or eight catches for 70 yards versus someone with one catch for 80 yards and a touchdown, yeah, you can say, oh, they helped on the drive more, but it's like, don't punish someone for scoring quickly where then they can't amass a bunch of receptions.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, he actually scored a touchdown.
So if we want to put in like a bonus for scoring long touchdowns, then I'll be more accepting of PPR. But I think full point PPR is just broken where the guys that already get the volume, all you're doing is making them just gods amongst the rest of the players.
Yeah. So I was just going to say standard versus PPR. I think PPR is better in theory, but it would be how would you change it? And you can do a lot of, you can make it very in-depth to make it very good, but then it becomes convoluted. I think the easiest way is maybe half PPR, which a lot of people are that's sort of becoming the bigger norm, I think, for just some simple scoring. Maybe some tight end premium or tiered PPR, which is something I've been a fan of for a long time. And you can do it multiple ways. Like you can do it by length of the receptions or just different points per position, 0.3 running back, 0.5 wide receiver, 1 point tight end, something.
I like that. I like tiered PPR. It'd be cool if there's a way they could, if you could do like 0.15 to running backs, what'd you have, 0.5 to receivers?
Yeah, 0.3, 0.5, 1, but okay. Like
if you could like cut them all in half and then also do the distance of the reception as
you could do that.
A 0.15 or 0.2 or something like that as it goes up.
Yeah. When I did it, I ran through like years of like Calvin Johnson's top year and calculated what his the tiered PPR, and like I think 0.3, 0.7, 1.2 or something works pretty well also. And I do 1 point for over 40 yard touchdowns, just 1 point for if you score. That's something that I like, just to have you scored a long touchdown.
Here's the point.
I don't like the bonuses really for like 100 yard games or 300
yard games. I agree. I don't like those bonuses because all they do is already, they have too much impact on the final scores for something that you're already amassing a bunch of points for.
Yeah. Another one is FAB. I think most leagues have moved to FAB. I'm talking, but I don't see anybody who plays in a FAB league saying, no, we have to go back to, a straw man argument. No one's, I think, complaining about FAB, but it's another thing that just elevates a league from a baby daycare league, a grown adult fantasy league.
100%. That's all I have to say.
That's all I had written down. Mainly the trade deadline, max points.
I had a few more. One of them is I think every league should be three wide receiver.
Oh, that is one.
Because I think it's not too much where you're like, oh, you know, the wide receiver 60 is someone that is valuable in this league on like a regular basis. But if you're only playing 20, in a perfect world, you're playing the top 24 wide receivers, you're really not even really playing fantasy football yet because everyone can really kind of pick out the majority of the top 24, top 30 wide receivers. It's when you get into that 36 to 45 that you find the value or you find the advantage.
Yeah, that's if everybody. So I like this thought, but at the same time, I have a start 10, 25 man roster dynasty, start three wide receivers and two running backs. And you have like what, two or three flexes. And anyways, I have four really good running backs. I have like Saquon Zeke, Joe Mixon, Jonathan Taylor. And I have to bench one of them because I have to play three wide receivers and my wide receivers are not strong. I have like Darnell, it's not good. So I'm having to choose between Pitts, who hasn't been good, I understand, but like Pitts, Zeke, and I have to play Mike Williams. I understand the thought, but that's assuming everybody has two or three good wide receivers. And I have to say, I disagree with three wide receiver. I prefer start one of every position, rest or flexes, because
I don't mind that at all.
Yeah. It helps you build your team the way that you want. And it gives you the most flexibility.
It also really helps for builders.
Yeah.
A lot. So I'm in a couple of those leagues.
I'll take three over two wide receivers though, but I think you should just have one.
I'll agree with that. Because we are in those leagues together and they're really
especially
fun.
Especially redraft, I'll absolutely hop on board starters because you're starting with a draft. So like this is a second or third year into a dynasty, further away from the parity of a draft. So yeah, it definitely gives you more flexibility to just have start ones.
I'm in a league that it's 2-3-2 in terms of running back, wide receiver, flex. And I have a ton of running backs. And I tried to make a deal with a guy who has a lot of his running backs are just hurt or COVID. Going into the playoffs for his Ridley.
Yeah.
And he shot it down. I'm like, how can you shoot that down? Like you literally don't have running backs to start, but like, it wouldn't even hurt my starting lineup in terms of running back.
Cause you can't play them because you have to play the run.
Yeah. My wide receivers are Cooper, DJ Moore and Lamb. And my running backs are Chubb, Aaron Jones, Javonte, Montgomery, Damian Harris. And then I just have like Pollard and then, Chuba. Yeah. So I have guys that I can move around, but I was like, I maybe can pick up Ridley as like an opportunity here, but no, he turned me down. Fine. You're literally going to lose in like the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah. So like this team is Herbert, Prescott. So that's two. Saquon, Zeke, Jonathan Taylor. That's five. And then I have Kittle at six. Then I have to play three wide receivers. So now I'm looking at, I have CeeDee Lamb, and then it's between Russell Gage, Darnell Mooney, Deontay Harris. Like, and I have to play three of them, and then I have one more spot left for Joe Mixon, and then I'm not able to play Pitts or Kittle. I don't like that. I don't like being hamstrung.
Some interesting and fun ways to update your flex too is you could have just a wide receiver tight end flex, which and kind of increases the value of those two positions if you have tight end premium on. That's a little bit fun. We have that in our home league, and it's a good time because I get to play Goddard and I get to play Mark Andrews together, which is really cool.
So one more thing, and that just came to me. What about fullbacks? I think they at least need tight end premium, but I think they should need it. Basically, we're just looking at you, Kyle Juszczyk. But at any rate, they need to at least, I think, because the most leagues, they just have the running backs. They don't get the tight end.
I think it's a good idea. I don't have an issue changing those points, but as long as it's just that, because the second that you start overpowering what a fullback is worth, someone gets desperate and they play a fullback and he puts up 35 or something like that based on the adjusted scoring. And then you're like, what?
Yeah. I'm not trying to make them all viable. I'm just saying that they at least need that tight end bump. Mm-hmm.
I can see that.
And they're still not viable. I mean, Kyle Juszczyk, I'm playing him. That's why this came up, because I had to fucking play him in a running back spot. And I was like, come on, give me the tight end bump, please.
I got a buddy that had to do that too, but he's also the same guy that's still rostering Darius Geis. So can't really help him in this situation.
Yeah. All right. I think that's it. You got a gripe of the week?
I got two. There are some weeks I don't have any, so I got two this week. This damn swelling in my ankle. After touring AT&T Stadium, came home. So watching the football games, having a good time. My home dynasty league was really close, so I actually was kind of jumping around celebrating. And then I just woke up at like 3 a.m. on Monday and I couldn't walk, couldn't sleep. Basically, stayed home from work, got like 15-minute intervals of sleep, and it was just an awful day. and I might have to replace my plumbing in my house. I'm getting a second opinion in the next couple of days to find out, but that could be pretty costly.
Yeah.
Well, that, and I'm hoping that there's no other issues that they find when they like uncover stuff. So
that sucks. My gripe is don't do that one.
Oh, I got to hear what that one is after we go off.
I don't know. Traffic. You got to highlight. I got nothing. I got no gripes.
I was so happy to watch the Packers beat the Bears. So yeah. Happy. And that game went exactly how I needed it to. I have Aaron Jones in a lot of leagues, and that he was helping me, you know, secure better playoff positioning. And I was going against him in my work league, which is just for fun. There's nothing on the line, but it's just breaking rights. But I had Devontae. So Devontae scores early. So I'm like, okay, cool. Aaron Jones can score now, because he'll help me in the other leagues. And then Devontae scored again, and Aaron Jones scored again. I was like, this is awesome. What a good day.
Yeah, you love to see it.
So I would say that was my highlight.
My highlight comes from a week ago or so when I went to Bellator, and I hit my parlay. I don't parlay, but I was at Bellator front row, suited up. Everyone thought we were like this huge deal. And I had like a 6-leg parlay for $50 to win like 800. And as we were going, cause like, it was pretty dead crowd, but I was getting the crowd going, and they were like, boo, stand him up, ref. And then we were like, what are you talking about? It's a UFC fight. He's beating the shit out of him. Shut the fuck up. And then, but then my guy would start losing. I'm like, stand him up, ref, stand him up. And, but as we started, you know, I was like, oh my God, that's the third one. That's the fourth one. My whole section started to get wind. I had this parlay on the line. So the whole place was starting getting going for me to win it. And we were down the last fight. I was on the last fight. I needed the guy to defend his belt. 5-round bout. He's down 3-0 easy. He's getting his ass kicked. Spinning back fist knocks the dude out.
Oh,
place goes crazy. Yeah.
Didn't you send a video of that to us?
I'm sure. I don't know, dude.
And he's not mentioning he was dressed to the nines for this event.
Yeah, I wore my wedding suit.
He and his boys were fucking dressed up.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, we were. We looked important, dude. Yeah, we got the place going. So that was my highlight. It was a hell of a night. Spinning back fist, dude. Coming back from 3-0. Needed the knockout. Lost it. Great night. That's my highlight.
That's the night you go drinking afterwards with no
drinks were on me.
Just no obligation. You're just like no reservation. You're just gonna have a good time.
Yeah, and we did. Well, that's it. Good luck in your playoffs this week. I mostly have buys because I'm good at this game, and that's why you should listen to this more to learn from the best. All right, see ya.